Hey everyone, happy being back with you. In this episode, we're going to talk about 1600 people, the immigrant mindset, and the secret to you succeeding even faster than you are today. Stay tuned.
This is the podcast for people that believe they do not need to change the world. We believe it's all about becoming the most effective version of yourself in the moments in life that matter the most. This is
the Inner Changemaker Podcast. Instead of changing the world, change their world. Changemakers! What is going on, everyone? It is time. That is right. Welcome back to another episode of The Inner Changemaker. I am your host, Jay Wong, in the house, sitting here with you. Hope you are having an amazing day, amazing night. I can't see you, but I really do hope you are having a great time out there. Look, this is the place where we go at it. You know, we dive in to what it means to be able to create and choose your own legacy, creating those choices, creating options for you, freedom of time, freedom of money. I mean, that is what we're all about here. And I have been on a hiatus. I think you've probably noticed this. And, you know, it's been about 5-6 months, and this is probably the longest actual time I've taken off from creating content ever since I probably started back in 2015. Some of you have been with me on that entire journey. I really do appreciate for your patience and for being with me on the journey. Hopefully you've grown. Hopefully you've seen me kind of go through the struggle a little bit, go through and kind of outgrow different levels of platforms. Heck, you know what? I went to an event very recently the other night, and this guy came up to me and says, "Hey, big fan of the show." I go, "Oh, that's great." And he started giving me shit for not being consistent. He goes, "Hey, I drive a lot and I listen to your episodes. So what the heck, man?" And you know what? That's fair. That's totally fair. It's on me. You know what I mean? It is on me. And you know, I look, there's so many things that I want to be able to share with you. So many things I want to be able to tell you. Massive updates in my life, in business, in the last 6 months. And we're going to get to all that in the next few episodes. But you know what I figured is, instead of just like listing them out to you in like a super quick machine gun type of style type of way, I figured let's make some great episodes. Let's get back in the game so that I can get to sharing so that we can talk more about it, have a conversation about it. And look, in case you haven't tuned in a little bit, or this is maybe your first time tuning into the show, welcome to the show again. It is, like I said, all about choosing legacy, choosing currency, choosing the life that you want, whether you're a man, woman, teacher, entrepreneur, somebody that works, you know, making 6 figures, 7 figures, a thought leader, an expert, choosing the life you want to live. It's about that choice, making that choice daily, creating choices, options, freedom of time, and freedom of money. So why lead with the word inner? Well, I think it is an internal battle first. I think, in fact, I could probably make an entire episode just on that topic alone, but it is almost always an internal battle, right? We got blockages, we got beliefs, we got things that we are currently in our lives mentally limiting how big we think, limiting our actions. We're going to dive deeper into that in today's episode. And the word changemaker, what does that mean? Well, it simply means somebody who doesn't sit well with the status quo, right? Look, I don't know if you're a bit like me, but when I was growing up, I got into all sorts of trouble, even at a very young age, like 4, 5, 6 years old, whenever I was in school. Couldn't sit still. I don't know if you're like that, but somebody who doesn't just take the hand that they're dealt with and says, "Hey, this is the hand I'm dealt with," right? It's somebody who understands that change is the only constant change, right? It's the only thing that we can really expect, and someone who is not satisfied with what they have, and they want more. Not only because more is better or more is more, but they want to do more. They want to impact more. They want to expand. They expect more from themselves. That's what a changemaker means. They hold themselves to a higher standard. So that's the name of the show, and that's why you are here, I imagine, if you are into any of those things that we just talked about. And in today's episode, I figured, getting back into the game, that I dive into a few key lessons that I learned at a recent conference that I attended a couple weekends ago. Might have been actually just last weekend at the time recording this. It was called the Wealth Hacker Conference. You gotta check this out because, I mean, I wish I would have been creating content beforehand, but it was put on by my good friends, Erwin Zito and Cherry Chan. And let me just imagine this, right? You're hosting your first event, you know, where you write a massive check to invest in the venue, you know, for some of you event planners or, you know, people that have kind of gone to conferences, you probably understand what type of, you know, space you're really looking at. Maybe you're working with a hotel, you're working with a, what's it called? Like, I wanted to say a Congress Center. The event was held at the Toronto Congress Center, but I don't mean a Congress Center, but essentially a massive venue. I can't think of the word right now. But you know, you sell tickets, right? You pay for speakers up front because that's actually how it works, right? You make a commitment for people to show up that day. People book flights. People, you know, get on trains. People, you know, they cancel their schedule. They make a commitment of being there. This event is happening no matter what, right? You hire specialists, you know, a specialist to help you market it, help you probably run ads to it, help you manage the event. There's volunteers. There's your own team, right? And you probably talk about this every single day on social media until the event happens, right? I mean, we've done more kind of intimate, low-key events, a little more high ticket, a little more kind of like, you know, diving right into, each person's like, you know, nitty gritty kind of situation. But let me tell you, I was impressed at this event. It is a lot of work. But guess what? So is any commitment and work that you do and you say yes to, especially if you are in the game of helping others move forward, advancing any area of their life. If you're in the game of helping people, it's going to take a little bit of a commitment, right? Even you just want to, like, let's say make sandwiches for the homeless. It's a commitment. You got to commit the dollars to buy all the stuff. You got to set up at least a bit of a system or maybe a team to be able to do it, right? It's you put in the work, but I would make an argument that you put your heart in it as well. And, you know, that's really how I felt, you know, kind of coming out of the event. And anyways, Erwin and Cherry, I mean, they freaking sold out the event. They sold over 1,600 tickets to the event. Actually, I don't know if it was over 1,600, somewhere around there, 1,600 tickets to the event. They filled the entire Congress Center with people that, you know, were a good chunk of them were kind of investors, you know, from, you know, stock market to options to real estate investors, people that were in their perfect audience, by the way. People brought their families, right? And probably even non-believers. You know, non-believers want to come see what you do so they can hate on you more, right? And it was pretty badass. And by the way, you can listen to Erwin Zito's podcast. It's a top 100 podcast, by the way. And, you know, he's a friend of mine. So come on, you got to have a top 100 podcast. It's called The Truth About Real Estate Investing for Canadians. And you can learn more about that at truthaboutrealestateinvesting.ca, CA as in Canada. And Cherry Chan, you can learn more about her work as an amazing tax accountant, specifically for investors. You can look it up at realestatetaxtips.ca. Once again, realestatetaxtips.ca. So look, that is the first lesson that we're diving into, okay? Commit, right? And by the way, I don't know how long this episode's going to go for, but it's going to go as long as it needs to because I am committing, right, to be here with you, and I hope you are committed to checking out some of these lessons. Look, one of the speakers of the day for their event was a guy named Grant Cardone. Grant was on this show, The Inner Changemaker. I don't remember which episode. I gotta create a list of all the amazing guests that have been on and which episodes they were. But Grant was on, he spoke at the event. He mentioned a line that went something like this, really resonated with me. By the way, I posted this on Instagram. I don't know if you saw it. He said pretty much where you lack creativity in your life. If you feel like you lack creativity, you go, oh, you know, I wish I could be a little more creative, right? He says, where you lack creativity in your life is actually where you lack commitment. I'll read it again. Where you lack creativity in your life is actually where you lack commitment. Think about that for a second, okay? Especially for you thought leaders, experts, coaches listening to this, okay? Do you think that you have a creativity problem or you think you have a commitment problem, okay? And look, I'll tell you, I'll bring it home. I'll bring it home and I'll be vulnerable. I'll share, you know, because I have some, I would say valid excuses, you know, for maybe not putting out as much content over the last 5-6 months and not putting out a podcast, and being able to share with you guys. And perhaps I can tell you that if you've been following me on social, you might have seen this, or even on my Facebook or any social channel, that I got a new property under my real estate portfolio, and we are effectively house hacking, where essentially you live somewhere for free, right? And guess what? For anybody who's ever bought a property or invested in the property, it's a bit of work, right? I'm going to cover all of this stuff and house hack in like an episode strictly for house hacking. I think I'm going to put it right after this one, actually. So perhaps that is my valid excuse. Perhaps I can tell you that behind the scenes over the last 6 months and really this year that, you know, we're growing our white glove podcast agency. It's blowing up, right? And ultimately, I have to choose to focus on our best clients, on their results, hiring, team, culture, operations. Anybody who's been a part of a growth, you know, organization or growth train will tell you it is not the easiest. You know, you know, when you don't have growth, you really wish to have growth. And when you have growth, dying by growth becomes an actual reality, right? So perhaps I can share with you that. Perhaps I can tell you that behind the scenes, that maybe we're looking to do a little bit of a rebrand, a little bit of a spruce up of everything, because I really haven't done that much of a spruce up since I launched in 2015, that, you know, I wanted to wait till we got our studio, wanted to wait for things to be a little more perfect, the unofficial season 2, the return, right? All of them are valid in their own right because they're true, right? But all of them would still be excuses. And the truth is this, I was beginning to feel a touch disconnected with the brand that I created 4 years ago. Kind of makes sense though, right? I mean, I started with, you know, some of you know my story, no audience, no email list, no product, no idea of what I'm doing. Like most entrepreneurs, most thought leaders, most people that want to, you know, your heart's in the right place. You want to help more people, right? But you have no idea. You have no idea how to make money. You're freaking out all the time, right? You're waking up with tons of anxiety. You know, nothing's going right. You can't generate momentum, you know? And I created the show to honestly have a great platform so that I could interview some of my heroes, but a great way of being able to document my own journey, right? And obviously I've evolved since then. You know, heck, you've evolved, hopefully, listening to the show, listening to some of the content in the show, right? You probably are thinking differently than you did 1 year ago, 6 months ago, right? And maybe that's not even from the show because I haven't produced any content. That's okay, right? But if you're not evolving, by the way, what are you doing, right? You got to keep expanding, right? You got to keep getting better. So because of the brand disconnect, I lost focus of my commitment to the bigger vision, to you. I lost commitment to myself, to being on not necessarily this the journey, right? Because I think there's like, and we're going to go into this in a different episode. There's like a business journey and then there's like the personal journey, right? And in the best cases is like they kind of merge into each other. But I lost focus in my commitment to the community, and when I started the show, and for that I'm sorry, but look, it happens. It's life, right? It things happen. You know, there's things that you can't just linger on those things, right? Long story short, you have to commit, and you have to commit big. Right? You have to commit big. And this is something we tell all of our clients that work with us, you know, in our white glove podcast agency. We go, look, if you want this to just be a short type of ROI, you want ROI in like 90 days, look, don't do it. Like, just don't do it, right? Maybe do it with someone else if they talk you into it, but don't. I'll tell you right now, do not do it. You got to make a commitment. People that work with us, they're committed to build the brand that they understand that they want, but they're also committed to listening to the community, right? Being able to kind of dance with their community a little bit and create the right content for them. You know, they're committed to sharing their message. They're committed to, you know, what they're great at, their passions, right? So you got to commit. That is the biggest thing that, one of the biggest things, I guess, I took away from the event. And the second lesson going into this. Hey, Changemakers, are you enjoying the episode so far? Now, before we go a bit deeper, I gotta ask, have you been thinking of leveraging podcasts to grow your business? Not sure maybe where to start or scared of wasting time on the wrong things? Well, let me be your guide as I show you the right sequences and steps to be able to launch your very own top-rated show on iTunes, as well as leverage the podcast and your show to build your business. Don't you think it's time that you put a voice behind your products and services? If you were drawn to this show, then I know that it's time that you got working to share your message with the world. Get my podcast creation roadmap for free at www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap. Once again, it's www.theinnerchangemaker.com/roadmap. Now back to the episode. Hope you're liking this format, by the way. I'm just kind of riffing a little bit here. Got some things written down right in front of me, but second lesson from the said conference is that Canada is freaking amazing, right? And look, I can tell from the statistics, there's a good chunk of you that are Americans, which is totally cool, by the way, because I grew up in US. I don't know if some of you know that. I grew up in Maryland, and Rockville, Maryland, by the way, just off of Rockville Pike. And so I like to think that the 10 years that I spent there really helped give me an edge, actually, in business and being in Canada. Even though I'm born and raised in Canada and, you know, went to business school here, all that good stuff. But look, there's tons of reasons to like Canada, okay? It is not the weather, for sure, right? Perhaps it's the poutine. Perhaps it's our ability to pretty much never be in the news, right? To kind of always be secondary. You know, perhaps everyone is just really, really nice here and they say, I'm sorry for doing nothing. The list really goes on. There's tons of good reasons to like Canadians, okay? But my opinion on this, my thoughts, is that Canada is awesome because there's immigrants everywhere, okay? And I had to look this up just to kind of confirm it, right? Because, you know, sometimes people say things and you're like, I don't even know if that's true, you know? But like, it sounds good, right? So we're gonna roll with it. You know, and I realize that about myself. Like, I say things relatively well, but I want to make sure like it's backed up, right? And so you might not have known this, so I looked it up, verified it. So I'm gonna read this to you, okay? Toronto, okay, with around half of its population. By the way, it's over 6 million people around the GTA, projected to be over, I think, you know, 10 million, or I think upwards of going into 2046. So it's a growing city, okay? It's on the international playing field. It's certainly not a New York, London, Hong Kong, right? But it's getting up there, right? And with around half of its population born outside of the country, Toronto is often referred to as the most multicultural city in the world. Located in Canada, this city boasts, is it boasts or boosts? Boosts 200 ethnic groups with over 140 languages spoken. That is crazy. 200 ethnic groups with over 140 languages spoken. I speak three languages. Jesus. Okay, so why do I bring that up, right? Because the speakers that they brought in, right? First of all, it's a Canadian crowd, right? It's happening in Canada. You know, most of the speakers were Canadian, right? Some of them were American. But the speakers that day, they always, you know, would share their story, which is, it's not a bad format, right? Like during the speech, they say, hey, you know what? We're going to talk about, you know, A, we're going to talk about B, we're going to talk about how to build an 8-figure business, right? But before, maybe I should give you some context to like figure out who I am, right? Which that probably sounds familiar to you guys. So look, the speakers of the day, they always would say like, hey, I am a son or daughter from an immigrant family, right? I kept hearing that, you know? And that came up at least 3-4 times that I can think of, right? Hey, I'm a son or daughter of immigrant parents, right? And I was like, why do people lead with that? You know, that's kind of interesting. And then, you know, I met other people, right? And these are ethnic, you know, different ethnic groups. You know, we got Asians, we got Indians, we got white people, we got black people, we got everybody, right? And it got me thinking that, you know what? I am a son of immigrant parents as well. In fact, I talked about this in my first episode back in 2015. I said, I'm a third culture kid, meaning that like my parents immigrated to Canada. They're not even Canadian, right? Originally, like now they, you know, they hold passports and all that good stuff. But when they came here, they were not Canadian, right? They came from Hong Kong. They came from China. Different type of cultural mindsets, everything, right? And then I was born here, so I'm a first generation Canadian, right? And, you know, the what you got to take away from this is not just that, you know, Canadians are cool or, you know, what have you, but it's that immigrant mindset. That's why people were sharing this, you know? And I thought about it and I go, you know, it, once again, it's probably a deeper episode if we go into the episode of like, hey, let's dive into all the lessons that you should learn from your immigrant parents. And then, you know, bad things that you learn from your immigrant parents as well, right? Like beliefs, you know, a lot of times they didn't grow up with a lot of money. So like, you can't learn money things from people that never had money. Does that make sense? Right? Even if it's your parents, right? Chances are they taught you like some bad beliefs around money, which once again, different episode, different topic, but the immigrant mindset. What's the immigrant mindset back in the day? Well, I can tell you, which is my parents' mindset, which is the harder you work, right? The harder you work, the more money you're going to make, right? And the easier it's going to get, right? That's like kind of like a deep-rooted belief. I don't know if you have this as well, okay? Or you maybe grew up around this. But if you go back to episode 58, I interviewed Bob Proctor, okay? There's a line that he says in that interview that he says, Jay, you want to know the secret? And I'm like, yeah, I want to know the secret. That's why we have you on here, Bob. Tell us the secret, right? He goes, the secret is that working hard is the worst way to get rich. Working hard is the worst way of getting rich. Now that I'm a business owner, I get it. I get what he means. Back then, I didn't really get it. I mean, it sounded good, right? I was like, oh yeah, that's like contrarian, you know? Like, oh, okay, yeah. People say it's good. Now you're saying it's bad. That's good, right? Like, so, but you know, when you start hiring people and you realize people operate in a world where they're like charging for time, right? Like, hey, this is $15 an hour. Hey, this is $20 an hour. You're gonna max out on time. There's only so much money you can make, right? This is probably going into a different tangent, but I think you guys are getting the point, right? But what's good about that is the work ethic though, right? Having sickening, disgusting work ethic. And you know what? I forgot about that a little bit. I've been getting comfortable, right? I mean, here's the truth, right? Your business starts pumping out money, more money than you've ever seen, more money like, you know, we're making in 30 days, we're making more than a full-time salary, specifically even my salary coming out of school, right? And you know, it's blowing my mind, right? But when you start, and this kind of goes into the next point, right? But you gotta start hanging out with people that's like you gotta start normalizing that, right? Let me save that for the last point. But the work ethic, and I think people forget about the work ethic, which is why I think people like Grant or people like a Gary, and these are just influencers and people that you probably know who I'm referring to, and any person that continuously puts content out there, I think this is why they get hated on, right? Because the world is soft, right? Like, we're soft. You understand what I'm saying? Meaning, like, technology has made it so easy to do all the things that we want to do, right? It's made it more efficient, you know? We can get everything ordered from like an app, from food to Amazon to dates to sex to, you know, everything that you would actually want. You don't actually have to like leave your house. It makes you soft because you don't value the things that you work for, right? Immigrants really treat money. I mean, they have some bad habits around money, but at least they work super hard and they understand the value of it because they came from a world with no money, right? They came from a time where it was difficult to like amass like money. They didn't come from money. They were poor growing up. So it's like a bad scenario, right? Now, you don't have to stay there, right? But the mindset around it is that you work your face off. And that's what I loved about it. That's why speakers led with it, right? It's a reminder that like, that's something you should take from the immigrant mindset, that you should work really, really hard, but you should work smart. You should leverage other people's time. You should, you know, outsource things that is outside of your unique ability. You know what I mean? You should not be grocery shopping, cleaning your house, cooking, right? Once again, probably a different episode, but, you know, like, it changes You got to have that sickening work ethic. You just got to work smart as well. So that's the second lesson, really, is that Canada is freaking awesome, okay? And the third and final lesson, I hope you guys are finding this like enjoyable, by the way, and quite valuable, because you know, I could just like give you a list of all these lessons, but I want to, you know, kind of dive into this a little bit. Third and final lesson, at least for this episode, because obviously when you go to any event, there's tons of lessons, really, right? And I kind of jumped the gun on this one, but here it is. You got to normalize success, and you got to normalize bigger results. You got to feel okay chatting about those things, right? And let me give you an example of what normalizing actually means. Chances are you have normalized however successful you are today, however your lifestyle is, whatever it is that you're used to, that is your normal. That is your baseline, right? And if you want to say, let's say you're making six figures right now and you want to make $1 million, right? 10x your income. 10x, right? You want to 10x your income, but you're comfortable. Like your normal is six figures, right? You hang out with everybody that makes just over six figures, 120, 180, 200. Wow, 200. Oh my God, right? Like you hang out with these guys, okay? But everybody talks about making $1 million. You can never make $1 million. It will not happen. You know why? Because it's too weird for you to make $1 million. You're not used to hanging out with millionaires. You don't know the mannerisms of a millionaire. You don't know the habits, the mindset of millionaires, right? You have not normalized that level of success. Therefore, you do not deserve or have earned that level of success. It's hard for you to achieve it. I'm not saying that like you can't work hard and like eventually get there. But I'm saying it's a lot easier and it's way faster if you could start normalizing a new comfort level at the million. You start hanging around millionaires, all of a sudden you become a lot closer. Your income jumps, right? That's what happened to me. That's what happens with a lot of people that figure this out, okay? And you know, earlier I said you got to think about it, right? Because the truth is you get used to being around others that have normalized your thinking. Right? So who are you surrounding yourself with, right? At the event, they made all these pitches up there, right? For like, they have like memberships and like live events and all this stuff. And you know, personally, I love watching pitches, right? Because I'm a big believer that if your heart's in the right place, you got the expectation of delivering results for others, and especially if you've delivered results for others, you should and need to get paid from it, right? It's like the universal law of money, you know? Money follows value, right? Thus, if you create more value in the marketplace, you will become rich. Money will follow you, right? It's kind of like the old Zig Ziglar quote. He says, you will get everything in life that you want as long as you help others get what they want, right? So anyways, during the pitches, they would always mention that you are the average of the top five people you hang out with. I think it's Jim Rohn, right? You hang out with five people. So like, if you are still hanging out with the five people you went to high school with, right? If all five of them are millionaires, then that's probably going to be a great reflection of where you are at, right? If all five of them are still working the same jobs that they worked in high school and you're still hanging out with them, but you're trying to like go a different path, friction, right? It's not good. And you know, and some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have felt it. Some of you have felt that disconnect. You want to bring others with you, but they're not going where you're going, right? And so the idea here is, you know, their whole idea is like, you got to surround yourself with the top five people, right? Look, that's great. Like, I think that's basic and we should all do that, right? You should surround yourself with great thinkers, investors, if that's what you're into. You should surround yourself with winners, people that are thinking differently, other entrepreneurs, right? If you're not doing that, then you're leaving it to chance. You're leaving it to default, right? Which I would argue default anything just sucks. Because it's default, you never chose it, right? And your chances are you're hanging out with losers, right? And so you gotta answer this for yourself, right? But if you ever look objectively at who you hang out with, who you choose to spend time with, and yes, sometimes it's better not to spend any time with anybody if they're not in your life. It's better to be alone. It's good to spend time with yourself, okay? You got to be better if you're going to attract the other four or five people in your life that you want to hang around, right? And so it reminded me that it's good to surround yourself with like-minded individuals, but you got to take it a step further. You got to spend time with people that are achieving the exact result that you would like, right, for yourself, and that they have normalized it. They have normalized what having a lot of money means. They have normalized what having tons of success means. They have normalized what building a big company is. They have normalized the results that you know, let's say you want 10 properties, let's just say, right? Real estate investing, right? You have to normalize that for yourself, right? If you're looking at this, you go, oh my God, I've never invested in one property. It's too overwhelming to make that jump, you know? And so, I mean, I can give you so many different examples here, but I feel like we have given, you know, some context to this, but, you know, I'll bring it back to Grant, right? Because he was speaking at the thing, you know, Grant achieves the results that he has achieved because he has normalized what having $1.3 or $1.4 billion in assets. Grant has spent time with millionaires, multimillionaires, billionaires. He has spent time with other people that owns jets, that own expensive cars. I'm not saying that these are like what you need to go after, because people define success differently, right? But the reason he gets, part of the reason why he gets the results that he gets is because he has normalized those results. If me and you were on a jet plane, look, I've never been on a private jet yet, okay? But let me tell you, the first time I go, it's not going to be a normal experience for me, right? It's going to be an extraordinary experience for me. It's going to be amazing, right? People are giving you champagne, and you don't have to, there are no rules, right? Like, I don't even know what the protocol is. Do you see what I'm saying, right? Because I don't hang out with people that own jets, right? That's okay. Not right now, but I certainly aspire to. Right. And I certainly am always on the lookout for people that have normalized success, the level of success I want. Doesn't matter whether it's investing in companies, whether it is investing in real estate, whether it is creating a podcast, whether it is, you know, thought leadership or info products or any of the things that you want, my friend. OK, so here's the question. Who's in your top five? Right. And you got to get them. You got to start chatting with them. You got to figure out where they're going, because guess what? It changes. Your top five in high school is probably different than when you went to college or university. And your top five now, is chances are they're different than they were a few years ago. Okay. You got to share with them where you're going. You got to share with them the vision. You got to get the conversation going. Share them this episode. Share it with your partner, your spouse, and say, hey, let's talk about this. Let's get on the same page. Right. Because we have to normalize the results that we're going after. So look, I don't want to drag this on any longer, but those are my three lessons from the Wealth Hacker Conference. 1,600 people, commit first, commit big, right? That's what you got to do. That's number one. Lesson two, Canada is freaking awesome. Immigrant mindset. You got to be careful what they could teach you and what some of the bad things you need to kind of reframe. But work ethic, that is the key here. Work ethic. Work hard, and work smart to be able to get the results you want. And last but not least, you got to normalize success, because the more we can normalize success, the easier it is going to be for us to achieve the results that we want. So look, I would love to hear from you. Which lesson out of the three resonated with you more, right? If you were at the conference, which lesson did I miss? Love for you to tell me, and all you got to do to be involved in the show is go to www.theinnerchangemaker.com/voice. Once again, it's www.theinnerchangemaker.com/voice, and it will prompt you to record some of your answers to my questions so that I can feature you in the upcoming episodes. Hope you're able to do that. Look, I appreciate you guys. Happy to be back, Changemakers. Can't wait to share more about what's going on in some of the following episodes. We got some amazing stories and amazing offers to share with you, so don't go anywhere. If you haven't subscribed yet to the show, come on. Come on. What are you doing with your life? Hit that subscribe button, whichever distribution channel you are listening to this. Share this episode with one of your top five. Get the conversation going. Movement, momentum, flow. That's what we can do. You can have it all. You just got to work for it. All right. Jay, signing off. We'll talk to you soon.